MATTS, and my name is Roy, and I'm the head control operator for this, the Linemark Tactical Net. It's been going strong for over 46 years now, and every Sunday night we sit in front of our radios and we chat with each other. We learn from each other. We teach each other. We entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me on this 4th of July weekend version of our technical net. Let me drop, and I will give you the usual links. Okay. If you would like to reach me via email, my email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you would like to reach Paul, WS2N, of our SpaceNet report, and maybe ask him a question or suggest an article or a video that you saw recently that you would like his opinion, he can be reached by email at spacenetreports@gmail.com. We also offer a link page of interesting articles I've seen throughout the week. I cut and paste them. I put them onto a link page, and on the, over the weekend I publish them, and they're available on the Internet. All you have to do is go to your browser and type in roy.ac2gs.com. That will bring you to the link page, and you can click the links and read them at your leisure. We offer an audio stream for people who don't have access to the repeater. You just type into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and it will bring you the audio stream, and it plays throughout the technical net. I used to set it up solely for the technical net, but a few people asked me to keep it live the rest of the week, so you can use it most of the time to listen in to the Glen Oaks repeater if you don't have a radio on you. Also, I'd like to remind people that Mike, KC2NJI, is a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv, and it has archives of the Linemark Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of people who moved out of the area or unfortunately become silent keys over the years. Let me drop for a second, and I'll tell you what we got planned for tonight. Okay. Regular standard operating technical net, no guest speakers. I will tell you a couple of bits and pieces of information I read about artificial intelligence over the past week, because even though you may be tired of hearing of it, artificial intelligence is going to have an effect on all of our lives, either to the good or to the bad. We often discuss which it will be, probably a combination, unfortunately, but I'll share with you the bits and pieces I've picked up and think might be interesting, and give you an opportunity to respond over the radio with comments or further questions. This will probably not be the only time we discuss artificial intelligence. A lot of times during these, nobody really has any response. Inevitably, a half hour later, one or two people want to talk about the subject. So turn to it. So we'll see what we will move on to the main segment of our technical net, questions, comments, and questions. First, you'll accept amateur radio. We prefer amateur radio, but we'll accept any questions about science and or I'll ask people to push to talk, give me their first name, their call sign, whether it's amateur radio related or science and technology. I would prefer if the people with short questions go first, and if you have a presentation, perhaps save it for the last slot of the evening, so that the people don't have to sit and wait for their turn. That should take us, hopefully, to about 10:15. Paul, WS2N, will join us for the SpaceNet report, and that should go on until approximately 11 p.m., and I will return at that time to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan, if everything continues to work the way it's supposed to. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And we'll see how it goes this this week. So let me drink for a second, and I'll tell you what we've got on the list for artificial intelligence. Okay. Anthropic released a major upgrade to its Sonnet model family. It features new adaptive thinking, so we'll see how that turns out. Anthropic also launched a powerful desktop environment built for scientists and science researchers. Rather than being a new model, it acts as an agentic workbench that connects over 60 scientific databases. So that sounds interesting. I hope scientists get something out of that. There are new image tools from Google. Google introduced new lightweight models, Gemini OmniFlash, and the new Nano Banana 2 Lite. So these new image and video generation systems by Google. Musk is apparently showing a new version of his AI to select few. And OpenAI has proposed handing the Trump administration a 5% stake as it courts political investors. So that's the bits and pieces of artificial intelligence news. Any comments? Please hit that push to talk.
Hi, Roy. K2NE has some AI discussion material.
Sure, Sam.
Now or after you go through your little AI discourse?
No, I already went through my AI discourse. Now it's just questions and comments.
Okay, that's the shortest discourse of AI I've ever heard from you. Anyway, in today's New York Times, was in the opinion section, was an article or an opinion. AI is suffocating our economy. So the first question is, did you have...
No, I didn't. Well, I don't know if exactly you could say it's suffocating. I mean, in a way, yeah. All seems to be going into it and the connected business models. But it's the only thing, really, as far as I can think, that's keeping the stock market as lively as it is. So it takes with one hand and gives with the other, I guess.
That was one of the points that the article discussed, is that this isn't the first time it's happened. But in essence, monies are being poured into AI, and it's affecting other industries, such as, you know, housing and, you know, energy. It's like affecting all the other businesses that improve people's lives. And they're saying that it's draining so much money that it's going to affect the other basics of life. Plus, the use of the water is becoming extremely overwhelming. I'm not even talking about the cost of water going up in the municipalities that these mega centers are being built. But in general, the world is suffering from a shortage of water. There's an article today about Switzerland and the Alps are melting, and that's going to affect the water supply of Europe. And the amount of water being sucked up with the AI industry is going to have a significant impact on everything. So anyway, that in essence was some of the points that the article was making. Anyway, back to you, Roy.
Okay, I agree entirely as far as that goes. You have to kind of factor both sides. Even though I'm not a particularly big fan of AI, as I mentioned earlier, I really think that the underlying irrational reason for why, despite all the economic indications, the stock market is going gangbusters is because of the artificial acceleration process that AI is giving. So it's producing a lot of other problems. It's making computers and computer components excessively expensive, and all investment is kind of being focused like a laser beam on this particular subject at the cost of others. I'm not quite sure exactly what would happen if you could just kind of turn off the AI spigot. Would we simply find that finances for all these other sectors just flow easily into them, or do we get a bump and a recession before that happens? So, you know, it is bad with almost anything. So, is to kind of be the one great promise of the future. And if it doesn't turn out to be that promise, we'll all have hell to pay.
K2NE, once again, the other point the article was making was about the effect on real estate values, that they use tremendous amounts of land, and they're buying up so much, it's starting to affect the value of land around it, and it's creating a whole other dimension to the problem of affordability for housing as a result of the land that AI is taking up with these, what's the word used for it, the mega plants or whatever. Back to you, Roy.
Okay. I'm not that much of an effect because most of these data warehouses tend to be rather large facilities. The one that they wanted to put up in Utah was going to be approximately the same area, surface area as you know, the island of Manhattan. So, you know, if you're buying land in that large patch, I don't know if it actually directly competes with investment for home real estate. It probably has some effect, but I think that's the least of the problems. And probably it's going to be a short kind of consequence because already they're canceling orders for you know, building these massive data centers. I think of all the data centers that were announced in the last 4 years, more than 50% of them were either canceled or basically put on hold. And I think it's going to get progressively worse as you notice that data centers are rather than being used by the people who have invested in them, they're going to end up renting them to the few remaining AI companies. That's not a good sign. So I think real estate is going to have the least bad effect there. You know, water supplies, electricity, components, raw materials, what have you. We're going to have to go through a bumpy economy because of them. But, you know, I think we're relatively closer to the end than most people think. You know, OpenAI has already delayed their IPO for another year at least. Companies like Facebook have decided that they're just going to rent their data warehouses to other people, and they've kind of given up on their own AI efforts. So we're approaching the cliff. You know, it'll be interesting to see how many companies are going to have to jump off of it.
3221.
Yes, David?
So three things. One, what would happen if that AI is a total failure? The other thing I want to say is the technology for AI database center, they use a liquid, or at least a potential for a liquid coolant that will allow these systems to run cool without using water. And then the last thing I wanted to say is I talked to a artificial intelligence person at a computing company, and she gave me very useful information. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you got to understand that if you're in the business, you kind of believe in the business. And a lot of this is belief without any particular proof. As far as the cooling system, that is a suggestion, a plan to consider for the next set of generation of data warehouses. I don't think we're going to make it to the next generation the way that we're going, because as time goes on, more and more people realize that they've overinvested in these warehouses in the first place. And the money is starting to dry up. So if it's a success, then there's a chance for that next generation of coolants to improve the situation. But right now, they've already kind of built the infrastructure. You can't kind of hit a reset button, even if you've been on the project for 3 years and you haven't turned it on yet. So that's going to be a question of whether they get to those coolant systems before they hit the wall.
Well, you know, the Meta president, he moved in with his top artificial intelligence people so he can supervise and make sure they're doing a good job. Is there a question?
I don't know where you got that from. Facebook recently announced that they were considering simply renting time AI companies. Whole hog into AI anymore. It's all subject to change. We haven't signed any deals. It seems to be what the company is indicating, that they're kind of getting out of the AI business.
Is it true that some people can make money at this, other people not so?
Well, yeah, that happens all the time. It's happening to Elon Musk right now. If you sell the hype, you can make a lot of money. Once the hype fades away, someone loses. But if you time it right, it's not you.
QSL, yeah, I know about hype, you know, but hype can be, risky when the whole thing falls apart.
Yes, but, you know, there's some, you know, it's a theory, it's the same sort of theory that the cryptocurrency has, which is the greatest fool. If you buy something that's overpriced or unvalued, and you're able to sell it to another guy for more money before it crashes, sell it to the greater fool, you win the game. So this, you know, it's great if there's actually value in these investments, because then everyone wins. And, you know, usually people like stories where everyone wins. If it's hype and there's nothing behind it, again, like cryptocurrency, eventually a bunch of people lose. And so that's not a good story for the people who lose, but for the people who made the money before the bottom fell out, they're still wealthy. They don't have any complaints. There's a lot of people like that. If you go back only a few years ago to a business called WeWork, which is a glorified company that sub-rents out a building, offices and stuff. That thing completely tanked. But the guy who with it and promoted it and sold it off to other people, he's got a couple of billion dollars and sitting pretty in Israel.
Well, I think it's about learning from past experience. You let it happen to you once, it might not be your fault. But if you let it happen to you again, then you really got a problem. So, you know, some people will always win, some people will never win. And if you're not going to win, don't play that game.
Well, it sounds like good advice. It is good advice, but you have to factor in what human beings are like. These big bubbles usually occur, you know, once every 20-odd years. So 20 years is a long time for people to forget a lot of things. And of course, if you ask the average investor in artificial intelligence, they will tell you the famous line, but this is different. They use the same exact line for the dot-com bubble. Dot-com, it's a brand new thing. It's not like anything else. This time it's different. And they lost their shirts. Oracle, which is teetering on the brink of disaster once again, lost most of its value during the dot-com bubble, and only the stock price only returned to that level a couple of years ago. For about 18 years, they were negative to the right before the dot-com bubble. So unfortunately, people kind of feed on hype. Everyone has a friend who's telling them that this is for real and this is a way to get rich. And so they say, what the hell? It's only money. So, I don't know of any way to kind of vaccinate people against excessive hype and promises that people who should make promises. The entire group of the artificial intelligence, the big guys who run these companies, tend to be real light with the facts and frequently make claims that are ridiculous. You got people saying that, robots are going to give you brain surgery in a year. You get other people that say artificial intelligence is going to cure all forms of cancer in a year or two. It's all nonsense. It's all foolish nonsense. And I'm sure they're not that stupid that they don't realize that they're doing this on purpose. But that's how these guys get to be billionaires, unfortunately.
One question on the cooling system.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's K2GJE. Most cooling systems use Freon, but I hear a lot of the larger systems are going back to that gas that years ago they used to use on refrigerators at home, but found it not good if the system leaked over.
Yeah, but unfortunately, a lot of supposed regulators are no longer interested in regulating things like that. They probably don't think it had an effect in retrospect, which I don't think is correct. I'm sure it's a little complicated, more complicated than that. But I mean, we live in a weird era where environmental protection is not an active agency anymore.
Yes, they used to use in refrigerators.
Wasn't it something with initials like RFJ83 or some such? I forget.
Air conditioner. Freon.
Yeah, it was air conditioner coolant. It was also refrigerator coolant.
It wasn't Freon. It was used in home refrigerators before Freon was around.
KF2CC.
Yeah, Brian?
WS 2N.
Good evening, Roy. I wanted to go ahead and say hello to everyone and join in.
Oh, okay. Well, you're always welcome. What did you want to say, Paul?
WS 2N.
Yeah, Paul, what did you want to say?
They had ethanol at one time, I think it was, and then that, even before that, they actually used ammonia.
That's it, ammonia. Give that man a cigar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, ammonia
right
is very. Yeah, you're right. Ammonia
be right.
Is very.
I believe they used ammonia on the ISS.
Yeah, it's very effective. Matter of fact, when we had that conversation of cooling off space stations that are data warehouses, we talked about using something like ammonia as the means to space the heat. Yeah, it's very effective and incredibly toxic.
I'm about the ammonia on the ISS. Okay, I think I have it. Yeah, use the ammonia as there's pumps that actually just flow it, you know, to the exterior panels and then back in, and then when they're inside, they pick up the heat from actual systems that have reciprocating systems. So, you know, the ammonia is not really being used as, you know, as a in a refrigerant type of way. In other words, you don't have a high and low side on the ammonia. It's just they're using it as a fluid. And the reason they use that, if they use water or something like that, it would freeze on the outside. So, it's a little different. They use ammonia, but it's not part of the regular refrigeration system where you have a high and low system.
Oh, okay. I think the proposed liquid for this for the data stations are water and glycol mixtures.
Where, in space or on Earth?
On Earth.
Yes, glycol is probably so the water doesn't freeze. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You use glycol in that situation. Yeah, you have glycol in actually in some sprinkler systems as well, you know, right here on Earth. But yeah, the stuff doesn't freeze.
Yeah, but again, the problem is that, you know, you can't just push a button and have a data center kind of come into being. Data centers take a long time. You know, there are data centers that they started building three and a half, four years ago. They're still not finished. They're now still not, you know, able to turn the key and go online. And then again, like I said before, there's stories that Facebook might take the data centers that they already have available and rent them out to other people. So there's lowering demand in data centers. So, you know, it's scaring more than a few people. The investment bankers, the guys who are holding the debt on all these services are getting more and more frightened. They have kind of reversed some decisions of investing in these facilities. So it doesn't harbor well for the future for them. Yeah, like I've said before, this is a very, very problematic field of investment. I think most people were much more optimistic earlier. Nowadays, there's all kinds of changing of opinion. The average person has heard the horror stories of data centers, and they don't want them anywhere near their, area that they're living in. People are Memphis is giving Elon Musk a lot of trouble. I think he suggested that he would give them a discount on Starlink, but I don't think that's going to make much of a difference to them when, you know, they're living next to a polluted, noisy, bunch of gas turbine jet engine generators in their backyard. So, I think it's only going to get worse for them. I can't see a change of heart from anyone other than rich guys who can afford to move, you know, buy their own island in Hawaii and they don't have to worry about pollution for a while.
Comment.
Yes, Brian.
Can't they build these data centers underground, deep underground, and use solar fields to generate the electricity?
Well, then you have a problem of how do you cool it off if you buried it in the ground.
So you could use it for heat transfer, and then that heat could be turned to steam, and the steam could be turned to electricity to feed back into the grid.
Well, to a degree, maybe, but, you know, the laws of thermodynamics kind of suggest that you're not going to squeeze all of the heat energy back into usable power. So it would just be increasing the cost of manufacture. It costs a lot more, you know, it costs a heck of a lot more to launch it into outer space, which is absurd. But it would cost significantly more to bury it underground. These are massive facilities, miles long. You know, like I said, the one in Utah was close to the surface area of Manhattan. So can you do it? Probably. It would be a massive undertaking. It would be very expensive. It would be much more technically complicated than a routine on the surface data warehouse. You could do it. It just costs a lot more. And right now, a lot of companies that are being asked to pay for it are starting to change their mind.
Don't they have miniature nuclear generators for this sort of thing, or not really?
Not really. They've been talking about things like that for a long, 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 long time. But I don't know of any actual products that are being produced. It's, as far as I'm aware, still in the research and development phase.
Electricity seems to be a big problem everywhere. The New York State Department of Education has backed off on school districts using electric buses. Most of the districts evidently don't have enough power to charge them over.
Yeah, the electric utility infrastructure in the United States is not good at all. A lot of infrastructure efforts never kind of got undertaken. Places like Texas are a mess, and it's only going to get worse, even if there wasn't any data warehouse plans. So, yeah, electricity is one of many limitations when it comes to artificial intelligence in the United States. Supposedly, China is making massive efforts on their own to build up their electric utility infrastructure. You never quite know how much of that is real and how much of that is just propaganda. But the United States is bereft. We don't really have a lot of extra capacity to give to different efforts. You know, you saw a small version of this about 8 years ago when a cryptocurrency became very big and it was necessary to run these farms where they calculated the values for Bitcoin that went into the structure, and they still run and they run harder than they used to run. And you'd hear stories of countries that had enormous waterfalls or energy sources and from nature, and they would tell these guys to come to their country or their area because it had excess power generation. You don't really hear too much of that. It's usually after a while they stuck up so much power that the local country kind of realizes that it was an error on their part. China did that, I think, at one point. They asked people to come and use their facilities and pay for them, and then they threw them out.
KT2R1.
Yes, David?
During certain administration, president approved, and maybe they didn't know everything about it, where these Chinese spy balloons were floating over the United States. I don't know what they were trying to do, and I don't know what information they got. You know, at a certain point, the spy balloons were shot down.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago. They're spy balloons. They particularly like circling around military encampments and such. And yeah, we kind of waited a little while until it was right on the coast so that when it crashed, it would crash into the Atlantic Ocean. No one's really mentioned them since then, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the Chinese haven't been launching them and are using them. It could be either that no one's looking or that everyone's been told not to tell the general public. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a spy. We spy on them. They spy on us. We have satellites that are much more sophisticated. They started to build satellites as well, but they threw balloons in, too, because it didn't probably cost them that much.
We also have Wi-Fi.
You can't really do that much with Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is short range. Again, it's... it's 2.4 megahertz and 5,000 megahertz and 6,000 megahertz. Those are good for short range, but you can't really, you certainly couldn't set these things up to spy on the United States and receive the signal directly in China. You'd need repeaters of some kind.
Yeah. But your computer has a camera. Your computer has a microphone, a DMR service, everything through the Internet. Maybe there is a device in your phone that is being picked up. Or, I don't know what else. I guess, from Wi-Fi to Internet to destination.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you already have the cell transceiver operating to the cell tower, to the routers, and you could probably hide something in the routers as well. I mean, again, it's primarily through wired access of the Internet as opposed to the Bluetooth or the Wi-Fi means, because that's just the initial jump to some wired-in Internet access point. So, whatever is part of the chain is fine and dandy, but ultimately you need a far longer range transmission method that wouldn't be Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Because, again, they're operating at, in the low gigahertz and those power, and power levels that they fade away. I'm sure you've had the joy and privilege of having Bluetooth devices that die by the time you reach the other end of your apartment.
Yeah. And what to say, it's good to have old technology. My audio player, there's no Bluetooth in it. There's no Wi-Fi in it. So only I can hear it if I plug in a pair of headphones. Unless there's something inside the headphone. And, I have a phone that's Internet free. You can just talk on it. You can text on it. You can listen to FM radio. And I guess it could be tracked. The voice part can be tracked, maybe in the text. I don't use so much text on my phone. But, the old technology, even young people are getting so interested in getting flip phones. Why do they want to get flip phones?
Well, I mean, ultimately, this is not, you can't mistake these stupid phones for landlines. They're totally different. They are also wired with RF instead of Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. They use the digital modes of the cell tower, and you can capture all kinds of useful information off of cell towers. So there's a big lack of privacy in even modern, less than smartphones, simply because of the underlying digital wireless technology they're using for cell towers.
Well, hopefully the people that are listening to my conversation are people that I like and respect, and so, I'll leave it at that. And the rest of it, I want to have a control over who gets my data, who doesn't get my data.
Well, lots of luck with that. I don't know of any mechanism. At the very least, all the governments in the world will not allow anyone to have unimpeded messaging because they don't trust any of us. And, you know, they're the worldwide cops. So go try to convince any government official to guarantee that your cell phone communication is isolated and unreachable by any human being. I seriously, they might tell you, yeah, sure, but they don't mean it. They don't trust us. They want to be able to unlock every cell phone in the country. And it's not just our country, it's every country. And they all seem to feel that we're holding nasty secrets against them, and they want access. So if anything, it's gonna get worse as time goes on, where, you know, agencies will be able to push a couple of magic buttons and listen in to whatever anyone is doing, and eventually there'll be recordings of everything that everyone did. So it'll be like the Wayback Machine. You just pull the date, and you find out what kind of text messages you got the day that a bank robbery took place or something. It's inevitable.
Well, I hear you on that, but I have no opinion. I have no opinion because, you know, anything could happen, and hopefully for the good.
Okay, but if you want to be an optimist, that's great. It certainly is easier on the mind. I don't know. When it comes to the nature of human beings, being optimistic about us doesn't always work out well.
Comment?
Yes, Wesley.
It is interesting how you jump from AI and the possibility of cryogenic cooling using component of air. So we're talking about nitrogen, oxygen, and argon eventually, to drones and using Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And I assume that the beginning of that, all the directions is usually about AI and stopping that startups proposing to nuclear power, small portable nuclear power, 24 of them, actually. So if I would like to say a few words to Virginia, Texas, and Arizona, were usually the states that were competing with data centers. And I assume that water is the cheapest solution for those. And interesting story is that the state of Colorado made the first laws standing about noise pollution and the usage of water. Back to you, Dr. Ray.
Well, it's my understanding Colorado generally has a bad problem with fresh water supply, so that would make a lot of sense. The states that have more limited, water supplies will be more likely to be the first states to pass laws to limit the wastefulness of it all.
Okay, thank you very much, and that's all from me for now. I'll turn to you.
Okay, very good. Any
other?
Yes, Jim.
Such an interesting topic. Lots to talk about the hardware and the resources and the real estate and all that things. But nobody seems to talk very much about this data. And what is this data you speak of? Where is this data coming from to have exponentially orders of magnitude larger capacity to store and manipulate data? Where is this data coming from? I have my opinions, but your comments, Roy.
Cool.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. My guess is we'll talk about it again. Unfortunately, a lot of people pick really bad names for things. This is not sheer data, because as I mentioned to you before, if they did not include the NVIDIA boards, which are processors for artificial intelligence, they calculate probability matrices for words in the large language model, and they're trained, and each new iteration is trained on a larger sample of written text. They take everything from the internet, they take everything from the Library of Congress, they take every type of text that you could ever possibly download, some legally, but mostly not legally, so they're going to get sued for copyright infringement. It's not that they're looking up to see when you woke up today, when you brushed your teeth, if you used your toaster, how long did you use your toaster, was it one slice or two slices? They're taking apart language, examples of different human languages so that they can build up a massive probability table that might include more than a trillion parameters that would predict, given a set of words put together in a sentence or a paragraph, what the next word would be in that sentence or paragraph. That's really what's going on. Because if it was just to kind of take down every detail of your life, you wouldn't need the GPUs. You wouldn't need NVIDIA. You wouldn't need trillions of dollars investment in that one company.
Comment?
Yes, someone said they wanted a comment, and then after that, David, you can go.
Oh, hi, it's Brian. Having worked in a data center, I could tell you that they consume a lot of energy. You have to be concerned with cooling. You have to be concerned with powering. There's a lot. Fire suppression. There's a lot that goes on there. They are essentially energy eaters. And when they dissipate the heat, that's another story, okay? So and when you look at it, it's not environmentally friendly because the chips and the hardware that are being used are very, very, very inefficient. So you're giving off a tremendous amount of heat, and, you know, there has to be another way. They didn't really think this out. They just went ahead and built, and they're taking off the top of the reserve for other, you know, power plants and everything else that people are going to need eventually. So it's going to be a major problem.
Well, you got to understand, you got to give them this much. I mean, they have to work with the technology that they have. If you would like a more efficient means of processing data, theoretically, you might be able to do it somewhere down the road if you shift from moving electrons, charged electrons from one place to another is very costly as far as energy is concerned. It would be much more efficient if we had something like photonic chips that operated simply on light sources. But we don't. We have very rudimentary laboratory-grade research objects that we're playing around with. The time it's going to take to go from something like that to the sophistication of modern-day silicon chips is going to take decades, if not more. And they're trying to get there yesterday. So under the circumstances, they kind of have to use the technology that they have available. It's not very scalable, unfortunately. Photonics would be much more scalable. But then, again, I don't think AI is intrinsically scalable to an infinite degree. Well, but nothing that I know of is scalable like that. But we human beings always kind of do that in our head. We just like to draw straight lines. But that isn't the way nature usually works. So those straight lines inevitably curve to an asymptote. To a point where, you know, if you increase something by 1,000 times, you get a very small incremental improvement. But a lot of these AI guys simply think that if you build it big enough, all of a sudden it'll wake up and be God.
David?
To collect marketing data. Two, very specific details of things. As you described, there must be bored out of their minds.
Well, yeah, I mean, I joke about that a great deal, that, you know, if someone is kind of grabbed one of my packets in the computer and they're looking at the camera, they're, you know, I don't envy them in the slightest. Yeah, I hope they're paid well. I doubt that they would be. But, yeah, a lot of this is boring stuff. The idea is that as long as you don't have real artificial intelligence, you're very limited by being able to monitor everything all the time. You can't. So you monitor some things sometimes. Eventually, the fear or the glory, depending on who you and what you are, is, you know, having a super intelligent artificial intelligence that you can wire all the input directly into it, and it will look, it'll gaze down on every live camera in the world 24/7 and respond accordingly. That's what governments would love to see. That's what, you know, crazy techno bros would love to see. And it's something that most of us here would not like to see.
Yeah, I think there must be more to that.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know, something's going wrong with your transceiver. Either the battery's going low or something happened to the antenna. Your signal is very noisy right now.
QSL, QSL. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not going to speculate.
Okay.
Thank you, Roy. KG2R1.
You're welcome, David. Anyone else want to comment?
BB2BXL.
Yes, Frank.
Yeah, I remember, and I think you thought it was sort of fanciful. I think Elon Musk was proposing to put these huge data centers in space. I would think the latency would be too long for what they're trying to accomplish. Although if you have big enough solar panels, I suppose it's the or a couple of RTGs. Even that, I don't know how you would generate enough power in space to do that without a real nuclear reactor. And I don't think anybody wants a real nuclear reactor in orbit.
Well, he's still proposing it. It's part of the value locked into SpaceX. Without the space station, data centers, it loses a lot of its value. So he still intends to do it. He never will. He intends to use solar batteries to generate the power. Latency shouldn't be one of the worst aspects of this, because it's not like you're playing a video game. You're pumping up a prompt, and then you're waiting for the return tokens to respond to it. And it's not like these things are going to be on the moon at first. That's another stupid idea. It'll be like his satellites that are already out there. There's not, you know, it has some impact on gameplay, but otherwise it probably wouldn't ruin using artificial intelligence. You could suffer the fraction of time that's necessary for the latency to come go back and forth.
Yeah, well, as you know, you probably remember I checked into the net using Starlink connection to a cruise ship that seemed to work amazingly well. And unless you looked at the IP address I was coming from, if I hadn't told you, I'm not sure you would have known the difference. So for ordinary applications, at least the latency on Starlink is fine. since it's LEO and not in geosynchronous orbit where the latency is really noticeable. Anyway, as you said, that doesn't seem to be the real issue. I guess when you get to it, another interesting topic might be what's going on in Ukraine now, because I know you follow that.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's anything particularly. It's an evolutionary process there. They have been designing some clever devices. We talked last week about one that probably was not real. But otherwise, definitely from them landing in Russia, they are real and functional. And back, it's not actually that terribly surprising, because if you think back to before the dissolution of the Soviet Union, Ukraine was a big lab area where they designed and tested a lot of interesting weapons and space devices and such. So, you know, these are just the retired people from the previous generation, plus the very clever newer generation that are, and they're including an interesting aspect to it. They've, what everyone's calling, gamified it. They give the guys points for what they blow up, and you can trade in your points for better equipment to bring other things down. So they've kind of revolutionized modern-day military weapons and kind of motivated everyone to really use it a lot. So, but I don't know. There's no intrinsic new technological method that I've heard. It's just a progression of what sort of makes sense. I mean, for a while they were using interesting weapons called graphite weapons. They just kind of dropped a lot of graphite pellets, and they would kind of lodge into the wire, the electrical system, short out their electrical utilities and such. But otherwise, they've all been kind of incremental, gradual improvements on drone and missile design.
I'm not sure graphite weapons are new either. Didn't the United States use them in the first Gulf War to put out the lights in Baghdad on the first night of the war? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not new technology, but it's not used technology. It's a rare time that it's been used. So, you know, bringing it back was a smart move on their part. I don't know if they've been using them since the initial. No one's really reported on them since then, but that doesn't mean much of anything. But no, it wasn't a brand new invention, but it was a reuse of a device that was seldom used when it was first implemented.
Yeah, well, I think the idea is that you can put out the lights in a city without destroying the power station to an extent that it's irreparable, that can be relatively easily repaired after the fighting is over. I think that was the idea in the U.S. using it, is it's presumably not a violation of the Geneva Convention to shut down a power station with a graphite weapon, because it just shuts out the transformer and doesn't destroy the dynamos. At least that's the rationalization I've heard. Whether it's correct or not, I don't really know. And presumably the graphite weapon is what the Ukrainians used to turn out the lights in parts of Crimea, which appears to be their goal between now and August, to more or less put the Russians out of business in Crimea.
Yeah, that was my understanding as well when the information was presented. It doesn't kill, it just basically destabilizes. It ruins the utility power supply without necessarily killing anyone. And yeah, they've kind of focused these days on Crimea. You know, they still kind of launch things at Russia too to just remind them that they're still there. So it's been a significant turn on events as they first began. Russia, if anything, is very good at propaganda.